You are listening to a message from First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls. For more information about First Baptist, click the link in the show notes or go to fbcwf.org.
Thank you so very, very much for allowing me to be here with you today. Thank Pastor Bob. I thank him from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to come and share some words with you today from God's holy word. This summer marks my 38th summer here at First Baptist Church, and I'm so blessed to be here. No, you don't. I should be applauding you. My mom keeps telling me you're going to catch on to me any day now. So, speaking of my mom, I took her to visit 4 different retirement homes. She doesn't like to call them retirement homes. I forget what she calls them, living in your golden years home, something of that nature. And I took her to see 4 different homes in the last week or so. And my mom, at 92 years old, is moving to Wichita Falls. So I'm really, really excited about that. Do you realize what kind of blessed people you are to have that kind of worship in a city of this size? I hope you really do. I don't normally get to sit in here. I'm always upstairs in the control room, where I thank God there are a lot of other people up there today as well. But I normally hear it through speakers. To be out here and to hear that choir and to hear that incredible orchestra. My son plays in the orchestra, by the way. To hear all that, the organ, the piano, and everything. You are blessed and highly favored, and I hope you realize that, because not everyone in this community experiences that kind of worship. I want to say a special hello to those of you who are watching by television today. Taking my mom on that tour, I met a lot of folks who do watch these services on television. Time after time, people would stop us, and my mom would, they would say, "I know you," and my mom would say, "I've never been here before." And then they would say, "Not you, him." But they watch the station and they watch the worship services and the Sunday school class that we have, the Word of Truth. So you're a big part of that as well. So thank you to all of you who are watching the programs today from home. I know we have a lot of amazing weather, and God is so good to us to provide the weather for us. So thank you. I want to say hello to the West Campus and to the church at Shepherd. And we're just glad that all of you are with us today. Before the Vietnam War, in the nation of Vietnam, there was a man and his family who were committed to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. They began to go from small, actually, villages in the outlying areas, beyond Hanoi, beyond other of the somewhat built-up cities, to smaller rural areas. Their heart was to share Jesus Christ with people who didn't know and had never experienced his grace and his love and his salvation. They appeared one day at a small village, and the village elder met them. And he said, "You cannot speak to the people here unless first you accept our hospitality." He handed to the father a kind of a crude plate, and on it was a piece of meat. And to the little boy — it was only the dad and the little boy that went out that day — he handed a smaller portion of meat. The 10-year-old little boy looked at the meat that he had been handed, and to his horror, to his disgust, he found that on that piece of meat, something was wriggling, something was crawling, something did not appear. Yeah, I see several people. Yes, that was his reaction as well. But he looked on with amazing passion, love, and admiration as his father began to consume the piece that he'd been given, which likewise was infested as well. The little boy closed his eyes and took his first bite and as well consumed the piece that he'd been given. The elder said, "You may address our people with whatever message it was that you brought." His father shared Christ with that group of people, and it changed the course of history for those who received Jesus as their Savior. Time continued on in the nation of Vietnam, and as you well know, a war between essentially the North and the South. Our nation was involved, and some of my friends, some of my most admired people in my life participated as fighting service people for our nation in that war. Eventually, the war came to a conclusion, and it was the Communist Party who won. That family had to flee. They had to leave Vietnam because at that point, the outward propagation of the gospel was not as welcomed, not as accepted, and became a little more dangerous. And so they came with so many who immigrated here to the United States to these shores. And ironically enough, God began to give them another ministry. He began to give them a ministry to those who had been displaced. And he found very many, many people from Asian nations, specifically even from Vietnam, who came to the U.S. and they became his new congregation. They became his new mission field. And over the years, that family had a tremendous impact, not only then in the nation from which they had come, but from the United States as well. And even to this day, the third generation of that family is serving now as a medical missionary overseas. God is so very, very good. God is so very, very great. God is so very, very awesome. But it is our job to be making him known in the world in which we live. It is our task. It is the thing that he has given to us to do. We are to be making him known. I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to Psalms chapter 67. It's a little bitty short psalm. And if you read any Bible commentaries, you'll find that most commentaries, most theologians, most biblical scholars believe that it was written probably to honor something like the Feast of the Tabernacles or to honor some other feast in the traditions of the church because they were celebrating, they were saying, thank you, God, for the harvest. Beginning with verse 1, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. May God bless the reading of his word. Would you bow with me, please, for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we look at this small passage, help us to have big hearts. As we look at this small passage, help us to have big passions. As we look at this small passage, help us to go big and live large for you. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. In my prayer, I mentioned the words, go big. I'm so excited for that Sunday because that Sunday basically heralds for us, it hearkens to us back to another year of church year. You know, when the school year starts, we kind of start here too. But by the way, in case you have any misgivings or misunderstandings, we don't stop during the summer. Even as I'm speaking to you now, members of our staff, as well as volunteers, members of our congregation, are serving God in the nation of Africa. Throughout this summer, we've had a number of different mission trips into Oklahoma, here in the heart of Texas, and we continue to do so. But I get excited when I think about that Sunday because it does say to us, let's get things going again right here at our church. As we looked at that passage, you noticed, I hope some of you have recognized that verse 1 that says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That's actually a blessing that you find originally in Numbers, but it's often used in more liturgical churches as a way of saying to the congregation from the pastor or the leader, I hope God blesses you this week. Well, he certainly is blessing me. Point of personal privilege, if I may, I continue to believe that God is healing me right now. I had another treatment this week, and I continue to believe that through everything that God is allowing me to go through, God is ministering to me. And you know what's so great about God among the many things that are so great about him? He's so faithful. Amen. Can I get an amen from anybody in here? Is he so faithful to us? Does he love us so unconditionally? Does he love us so passionately? Does he love us so caringly? But on the other hand, he did say there will be consequences if we don't trust him. If we do not accept him as our Lord and Savior, there are consequences. Do you realize, maybe you don't, let me share this with you. A recent poll by the Pew Research Center indicated that 38% of Christians do not believe in a literal hell. 38%, which means at least a third of believers don't really feel like there's any impetus at all, any need to share the good news of Jesus with others, because in all sincerity, there isn't a lasting torment, place of utter sadness, desolation. You hear those people who joke, they'll say, "Oh, I don't mind going to hell. All my friends are going there. We'll have a one big party." No. No. I gave you some outline notes, and one of the first ones for you to fill out, I want to fill it out for you. I want you to understand this body of Christ. If you don't already, you need to know this, and I hope we can all accept this as fact. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and without Jesus, people go to hell. Without Jesus, people suffer in their present and for all eternity. Let me read that for you again. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if you don't believe it. You didn't make the rules. God did. Without Jesus, people are going to go to hell. And let me describe hell for you. Without Jesus, people are going to suffer right now in their present. And they do. Ask anybody who's going through addiction. They suffer in their present, and they will suffer for all eternity. There is a reason why our church engages in missions. There is a reason why we're part of what we call the cooperative program, the International Mission Board, the North American Mission Board, and many others. Because people do go to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness from anybody in the body of Christ? Now, if you don't believe that, come see me later. Because Jesus, you may not know this, but it's true, Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. He spoke more about the place of eternal torment, the place of separation from God, the place where it's described as wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. He spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, because he knows, not new past tense, he knows present tense, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And he said, "I desire that all would be saved." He didn't want anyone to go there. I have several important points I want to make from this small passage of scripture. And the first one I want to talk about is the goal. There is a goal that the psalmist writes to us about. If I could read verse 2 again. It says, "That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations." The first goal, I believe, is that we're to make him, his way, and his saving power known everywhere. We're to make him, God, his way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." We're to make him, his way, and his saving power known to all of the nations. By the way, it doesn't matter if we like the way they look, if we like the way they act, if we appreciate their style of music, or we appreciate their culture. It doesn't matter. I'm never going to win anyone to Christ by telling them how awful they are in their music tastes. Okay? I do not like rap music. I do not like rap music. Let me just put this out there. And I'm not a big fan of goth or death metal or screamo either. And some of you are saying, "What is he talking about?" I'm not a big fan, okay? Don't, when you get into my pickup, if you hit button number 1, if it's not already hit, it's KMOC, okay? I'm listening to 89.5. I'm not a big fan of rap. But people without Jesus who are listening to whoever are still going to go to hell, and they should be of a concern to me. Can I get a witness in here? Just because their pants are saggy and I'd like to see them pulled up. They still need Jesus, because without Jesus, they go to hell. Yes or no? Come on. Amen. You know, I like old movies, and I'm a big fan of old movie stars. But sometimes I literally find myself sitting there watching some big star from the past who never gave a hint of a Christian testimony. And I ask myself, do I cause more eternal sorrow in my finding joy in their motion picture presentation while they spend their eternity in hell? Listen to me. Hell is separation from God. Hell never stops. Anybody in here ever had a toothache? Raise your hand if you ever had a toothache. Well, I'm telling you right now, I praise God for my dentist. He knows how to get into this mouth and take care of stuff. But eventually you say to yourself, they're going to do something to numb the pain, and they're going to pull that tooth, and they're going to do something, they're going to fill that tooth. They're going to do something's going to stop the pain. In hell, the pain never stops. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 28. This was the command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go. He didn't say stay. He didn't say figure out a way to get yourself behind the walls of your castle or whatever it is. No, look at the first two words. Go, therefore. I used to love to listen, still do love to listen to a gentleman named Keith Green. And Keith perished in a plane crash many, many years ago, long before I came to this church. I had the great privilege of, for a brief period of time, traveling with his ministry and seeing him deliver the word of God. One of the last songs that Keith recorded before his death was a song that said, Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay. He wants us to go. Years ago in China, there was a medical missionary. He devoted his life, along with the lives of his wife and family, to the service of others. He served in a nation at that time that had not yet turned to the communism of today. So there was still some degree of freedom for he and his fellow missionaries to share the good news of Jesus, and they did it in a practical way by ministering to needs. His daughter was named Ruth, and as she watched her father, Dr. Nelson Bell, minister to others, she became inspired by his example. Eventually, she was to leave China after going to missionary school for the missionary kids in China. She moved to the United States, and she enrolled in Wheaton College. Do you know where this story's going? Yeah. Eventually, she met a young guy named William. William, who by his friends was known as Billy. And Ruth Bell Graham influenced generations to come because God used her missionary father to impact her life and to influence others. Your International Mission Board, which as Southern Baptists you help to support, is right now doing a thing, I want to make sure I get this note right, called Mission 3000, where they're trying to reach unreached people groups in the world. Do you realize right now you can go to Walmart and buy a Bible? If you're sitting there waiting for your prescription to be filled at CVS Pharmacy, right next to you is Favorite Sayings of Jesus on a little rack. Have you seen it that spins around and you can look at different books on that rack? But there are some places in the world right now where they do not have the Word of God in their own language. So how do they, the Word of God says, how do they understand unless first they hear? How are they going to grasp it if somebody doesn't share that with them? This is a mission-minded church. This is a church that believes in missions. Here's the thing. The Word of God says that we need to be making His way and His truth known throughout the world. Here's how your church does some of this. I just talked to you about Larry and others who are over there in Africa right now. And I mentioned other things. But for instance, Mission Aviation Fellowship. How many of you know Dave and Jill Holmes? They serve with Mission Aviation Fellowship right now in Mozambique. Their picture's about to come up on the screen. They're an amazing couple. And, oh, I forgot. It's okay. The screens are messed up right now, so I'm just going to carry on. But Dave and Jill Holmes serve in Mozambique, Africa. And let me tell you something. If you run out of milk today, you just drive over to the store, right? You need some shampoo. I was with Dave and Jill a few years ago in Mozambique, and I don't have enough hair to shampoo that much anyway, but I'd forgotten my shampoo. I said, can't we just run over to the market or something? And they both looked at me like, are you crazy? I couldn't even find mane and tail, the horse shampoo that they sell. There was nothing in Africa. Dave and Jill served there in Africa. We have people who were sent out from this church who serve with the Wycliffe Bible translators. They're helping to translate the Word of God into other languages. Megan and Chris Weaver right now are serving in Papua New Guinea, and every time you give to the impact offering, you're helping. There they are right there. Thank you, Jeff. There they are in Papua New Guinea. And by the way, that's a feast for them up there, okay? The goat is eaten out of the same table, okay? Body of Christ, He wants us to be willing. He wants us to be willing. This year, Mark Mackey, our campus pastor at Church at Shepherd, and his wife, his wonderful wife, they went to Canada to do some legwork for us because our pastor and Jerry Royal, our executive pastor, want us to have a footprint in Canada. We've helped to plant churches in Utah. And I'm telling you right now, the Church of the Valley misses Justin Bindle very, very much. But they're still growing and they're still doing amazing things. As well as Redemption Church up in Ogden, Utah. Again, an amazing church. And God is doing wonderful things through them. You helped make that happen. Your giving, your prayers, your faithfulness to God is helping other people in a very unreached state. And by the way, if you want to go to a state where people don't know Jesus, drive to Utah or fly to Utah, okay? They know about a huge Jesus statue, and they know about a Jesus that was apparently, according to one of their first prophets, either Smith or Young, the half-brother of Satan. What? If you want to go to a place where they need the real Jesus, that's where you're going right now. Because you helped plant the church in the valley. Pastor Bob and Mary Ann and wonderful Callie were just with Bobby Wood, who really started Redemption Church up in Ogden. You see, not every one of you is called to go to every location. But you're going. You're going as a church. There's a second point I want us to look at here. Oh, let me mention one more thing. Since they've left me, but I know they're still in the building. There's David. We have musicians who have gone all over the world as well. In fact, you have a coming trip, right, David, to Europe. And they'll be singing and they'll be praising God in a number of different nations. And by the way, if you don't think people need encouragement, go to a continent where they have a war going on right now. And come on, nod your head if you're hearing anything I'm saying. If you don't think people need encouragement, go to a continent where they're having a war going on. We have relationships in Europe with wonderful institutions, including Emmanuel University, which is amazing. It's the largest sending university on the continent of Europe, and your pastor goes there regularly and teaches those little preacher guys how to rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah. Asia as well. Larry Malden's already got friends in Japan. But there's a second point I want to make, and that's the result, okay? We know what the goal is, but what's the result that we hope to achieve? I want to read again verses 2 through 5. Psalm 67, verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. You can't praise God if you don't know Him. And you won't celebrate Him if you haven't experienced His salvation. Can I get a witness from anybody out here? You see, we have the joy of the Lord. I hope you have the joy of the Lord, because I do. And if you don't, come see me. We have the joy of the Lord, and it's our strength, because we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed. How's the rest of it go? Unto Him against that day. Yeah, you know why the old songs are great? Because they're theologically sound. John said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. This passage in Psalm 67 says, we want the people to praise God. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus puts it this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim to the captives, release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. I'm going to set free those who are oppressed to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Do you see those words up on the screen just now as you're reading God's Word? Because not everybody has your copy of the Scripture open. You know why I keep looking down front? Because you're involved in another area of missions. You right now are sending what you're hearing in this room, it's going out over the World Wide Web, thanks to all those technicians upstairs and in the IT department at this church. It's available even for Dave and Jill that I referenced earlier. Regularly, they watch the services from this church in Africa. And we have servicemen and servicewomen who were stationed at Shepherd who miss being a part of this body, and they tune in on their laptops or on their phones or on their Kindles or whatever, and they're watching the services. I mentioned to you earlier that I went to several nursing homes with my mom here in town. I couldn't get in and out of them, most of them, in fact, all of them, without people telling me they watch. Right now, there are three camera people that you can see, and there are dozens more of people all over this building, technicians in the AV department. You're being a missionary by spreading the good news of Jesus, because that's what missions really is. But Jesus said, I've come to set captives free. And there are a lot of captives in our community. Yeah, right here in Wichita. You don't have to go where Larry and Randy and the team are right now to see people who need Jesus, who are in captivity. The school year is about to start. I told you how excited I am about Go Big Sunday, because that also heralds the beginning of school. Where you're seated right now in our congregation this Thursday, we'll have a rehearsal on this Friday. Jeff, am I wrong? But every seat in the building will be filled, right? Yeah. Every seat. There's a great group of you here today, and I praise God for you. Thank you for being here. But every pew in this room will be filled this Friday with teachers and support staff from the WFISD. But at Scotland Park Elementary School, this fall means the resumption of the Good News Club, which literally teaches young boys and young girls about Jesus Christ right there on the campus. And our own Amber Bindle led it all last year. And our church has committed once again this year to give the funds necessary to help sponsor the backpacks and the school supplies for those children at Scotland Park. You're a mission church. And your mission field doesn't have to be. It can be, but it doesn't have to be across the ocean. The Good News Club that you sponsor. The Faith Mission, right around the corner from here. Interfaith Ministry, not too far from here. Southern Grit Advocacy that helps to combat, to thwart, to stop, and to educate about human trafficking. You're helping that incredible endeavor. The Pregnancy Help Center, they just had their Walk for Life. You helped with that endeavor. We have an amazing prison and jail ministry. Right now in this room, I can see Clint Titsworth, and there may be some others who are involved in prison ministry. Last week, I got to go into the prison at All Red. I love going to All Red. I love being out there and playing my guitar in their worship services. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the most fervent Christians I know are guys in white. Because here right now, you're singing and they got the words for you up on the screen and the wonderful choir and orchestra leading you in worship. And at the prison, they got the prison band. And I'm going to tell you right now, that drummer is so good. When he sweats, the sweat beads fall off of him in rhythm. Yes, it does. And the bass player, he sounds like he should have been playing with Stevie Wonder. It's an incredible band. But their worship is so fervent and so passionate. Why? Because they want Jesus with all their hearts. And when they sing, I surrender all, they mean it. They mean it. You also help with recovery ministry here in Wichita Falls. And you may not know this, but last year there was a big event called Soberfest. Did any of you hear about it? Yeah. Your church helped to sponsor it. Amen. I should be hearing amen from somebody in this room right now. Because one of the greatest mission fields in the entire world right now actually doesn't require you to go anywhere but right over here on Broad or Holiday. Because addiction and alcoholism are two of the worst diseases facing this entire world, and people are dying every day, and we want to see people in recovery. And we want to see people get their lives right with Jesus so their children don't have to grow up without mom and dad, so their children don't have to grow up wondering where their next meal is going to come from, or they sure hope school starts again so they can eat the free breakfast and lunch because mom and dad are in recovery and they're walking the right walk, the right path. I want to read Psalm 67 one more time. I want to go back to verse 4. You will judge the peoples with righteousness and guide the nations. There is going to be a time for judgment. And if you don't believe it, again, come see me. We'll talk about this. But there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if people aren't ready, they will spend eternity in hell. But there's one more goal. There's one more thing I hope to accomplish. That's the harvest. That's the harvest. On Friday of this past week, I love this kid. He's such a great. Do any of you have grandchildren? I'm just telling you right now, by the end of October, I should have 5 living in Wichita Falls. You're not going to be able to get me out of here with a blast, okay? I'm staying here till the rapture, unless Jesus tells me different. I'm going to have 5 grandchildren living in Wichita Falls. My mother, my mother-in-law, my son, my youngest daughter, their respective spouses, all living here. But my grandson David called me and he said, Pops, there is smoke coming out from underneath our sink. There is smoke. Smart kid. He thought to call his grandfather. Perhaps you should call 911. My wife is the smart one in the house. She called 911. And the fire trucks beat me there. Of course, I got to be careful. You know, I got a reputation. Don't want to be caught speeding. Didn't have to run any red lights getting here, by the way, today. None of the lights are working downtown. So I get over to my son and my wonderful daughter-in-law. And my brand new grandbaby was born on July the 3rd. And my older, he didn't use the phone. The other grandson did. I get over there, and sure enough, there's smoke coming out from underneath. It wasn't anymore, but the city was testing their sewer lines, and I guess there's a small crack in their pee trap or something, Rick, and so a little bit of smoke came out. But you know what? That same morning, my older daughter, who just moved to Ohio, called me. She said, Dad, water was coming down from the ceiling in the new house. We just bought it. We closed on Monday. Turned out they'd hired a plumber who was not exactly fully on his game just yet. And one of his staff had neglected to stop water in one pipe. I tell tell you both of those stories to tell you those are first world problems. There's a third world. And their issue is, do I have enough to eat today? Will my child survive this illness? Will the medical needs that we have from somebody like Mercy Ships or someone like Dave and Jill flying a doctor to them in a helicopter? Those are the third world problems that we really don't experience here, that they experienced, by the way, in the hill country. I didn't know how our pictures were working, so I didn't mention this, but over the last month, since the 4th of July and the flooding in the hill country area of Texas, you've literally sent, as a church, thousands of dollars to that area to help. And right now, we're trying to get a team together. If you'd like to go on any one of those trips, just give me a call. But there is a picture of people that they call Texans on Mission. And by the way, you, with your prayers and your funding, are helping them do what they do right now. The need is not as bad in the hill country now, because now what they're going to need is rebuilding. But even if you can't go, you can pray. I have a quote that my friend Terry has got prepared for you, and a friend upstairs is going to put it in for you, but I want you to see this quote. This is from a wonderful biblical scholar, R.A. Torrey. He wrote this: "The man or woman at home who prays often has as much to do with the effectiveness of the missionary on the field and consequently with the results of his or her labors as does the missionary." Let me read that quote for you again. "The man or the woman at home who prays often has as much to do with the effectiveness of the missionary on the field and consequently with the results of his or her labors as the missionary." Are you understanding this at all? Nod your head if you're understanding that. What that means is, Thurman, when you pray, you're as effective as the missionary on the field. When you pray, when you lift up our International Mission Board missionaries, when you lift up our college students and our high school students and our middle school students going on missions, when you lift up things like our family missionary trip to Medill, when you pray often, not, by the way, sporadically, his quote was often, when you pray, you have as much effectiveness as that missionary on the field.
You've been listening to a message from First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls. For more information about First Baptist, including gathering times and locations, click the link in the show notes or go to fbcwf.org. We'll see you next week.